We are going to start again from Tanna Rabbanan, which is about, what do you say, right across the Tisus Zoo. Tisus Zoo, go across, half a line up, Tanna Rabbanan, beginning of the line. Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph, 37a, Tanna Rabbanan. Tanna Rabbanan, Rishon Royally, is kind of God, with the Shani Mams and Misafik. We're talking about a person who married his Yavama, he was Miyabim, his Yavama, and then found out she's pregnant. So the first baby is definitely kosher, because it's either a pregnancy from the first husband and it's a kosher kid, or it's a pregnancy from the second husband and it's a kosher kid. Because if the first husband didn't have any children, then Yibum was good. But the problem is the next kid is also because he had no business staying with her because it's a suffix Yishesach. So Vasheni, Mamzer Misafik. Blessed be Yaakov Eimer, a Mamzer Misafik. We learned this yesterday. My Kamer, what does a Blessed be Yaakov mean? Why isn't it a suffix Mamzer? I'm Rabbi Hanky Kamer. And again, we mentioned this yesterday. There's a Machlokes Tanoim, which we will see shortly. Can a Suffolk Mamzer marry a Mamzer Vaday? Based on Sukkim Masechtas Kedushin, it's a Sugya Masechtas Kedushin. Right? Can a Suffolk Mamzer marry a Mamzer Vaday? So Abaya says, Hanky Kamer, Risha Rodli is Kain Gadl, Vishani Suffolk Mamzer Vasiba Mamzeres. The Tanakhama is saying that Suffolk Mamzer is Asiba Mamzeres. We treat him like a vade mamzer, or mutzim mamzer. So the machloikas is not what the halacha of this kid is as far as what he is. He's a suffolk mamzer. Question is, how do we treat a suffolk mamzer? Tanakhama says a suffolk mamzer is asa b'mamzer. Rabbi Zimmer Yaakov says suffolk mamzer is mutzim mamzer. That is Abaya's sake. Rashi? Is there a Rashi? Amr Abaya, Savig Mamzer Havi, V'asir B'Mamzeres Ubiksheira. He's also to marry a Mamzeres. He's for sure also to marry a regular Jewish woman. Blessed be Yaakov Ebe Mamzer B'Savig and Kavadim Mamzer Havi. We treat him like Kavadim Mamzer. Mutter B'Mamzeres Niksaver Sveikim B'Vadoi Mutter. There was a Savig Mamzer can marry a Mamzer. V'Shani. Mamzer vaday havi misafik, klaimim mitayuk safik zeb, nasik vaday mamzer mutim mamzeres. Rav Amar, sorry, it's a mistake. It's a sheni and it's going on the next gemara. Rav Amar haki gemar. Rav learns the exact opposite of Abaya in who holds what. Tanakhama says Rishon Royally is kain gadol, v'sheni mamzer vaday misafik, and the second one is treated like a mamzer vaday. Even though he's a suffolk, and that's that Rashi. V'sheini mamzer havi misuffolk claim, and we type suffolk zem. Nasi kavadei mamzer. We treat him like a vadei mamzer. Umutim b'mamzeres. And the blessing of Yaakov Eimer, ain't vadei mamzer misuffolk, el a suffolk mamzer v'asim b'mamzeres. So it means they both hold that the machloikis is the same point. Except they turn around the Madiyamr. Abaya holds that the Tamakamas says suffolk b'vadei is mutter. It's utter. And Rabbi Lezim Yaakov says Suffolk is Mutter Bevadai, and Rabbi says the Tanakam is the one that says Suffolk is Bevadai is Mutter, and Rabbi Lezim Yaakov is the one that says Suffolk Bevadai is Usher. So they both agree that the Machloikas is about how to treat a Suffolk Mamzer, they just have which sheet is which, the opposite. The Kamiflagi, but Rabbi Lezim. And they're arguing who holds like Rabbi Lezim. Right, because it's non Rabbi Lezer Eimer, vadam bevadam mutter. A vaday mamzer to marry a vaday mamzer. Vadam b'sreikam, b'sreikam bevadam, b'sreikam b'sreikam mutter. However, a vaday mamzer and a suffolk mamzer, or a suffolk mamzer marrying a vaday mamzer, or a suffolk mamzer marrying another suffolk mamzer is usher, because we don't know the status of each one, and therefore it's usher. Ve'elu hein sreikam, who is considered a suffolk mamzer, stuki. Asufi v'kusi. There are other cases of suffolk mamzer, like we have in our Gemara. But the common suffolk mamzer is shtuki. Shtuki is that the mother doesn't want to tell the kid who his father is. She tells him, keep quiet. When he calls somebody dad, his mother says, shh. Right? That means, obviously, there was some hanky-panky, and we don't know what this kid's status is. Or asufi means a baby found on the street. Now, all the dharm of that is a Masechtas Kedushin. whether we assume the kid is kosher, whether we assume the kid is a suffolk. But we're not going to get involved in that now because it's not the sugya here. But the sugya we're talking about here is the suffolk mamzer and kusi, because the kusim weren't careful in some of their marriages. They didn't take kedusha, kesef, and shtar too seriously. And therefore, after kedusha, kesef, and shtar, they had other people marry. So it ended up a lot of mamzeris, and we don't know whether this is a suffolk mamzer. So we treated every kusi like a suffolk mamzer.
This is the second coming of the shtuki, basically.
What?
Second coming.
Right, the second coming is a shtuki. He doesn't know who his father is. Exactly. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav.
I'm sorry, who's the second?
Let me just finish one line. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Allah Kirblazer. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said, Allah is not Kirblazer. That a suffolk can't marry a vada. Yes. Dr. Harris. Here, which case are you talking about? Our case in our Gemara?
Yeah.
Reuben died. He had no children.
Right.
Shimon was miyabim within 3 months. And then she has a baby 6 months after Shimon is miyabim her, 9 months after Reuben died, within 9 months of Reuben's death. We don't know who the father of this baby is. So the baby itself is definitely kosher. Regardless of who the father was, kosher. Had Reuben had the child, it's Reuben's child, kosher. Had Shimon had the child, that means Reuben didn't have any children, so it's kosher. So the baby born is a definitely kosher kid. However, if Shimon stays together with this woman and they have a second child, that's very questionable. Because if the first child was Reuben's child, so Shimon had no right to be married to his wife. And it's Karis, and therefore the baby's a mamzer. But if the first child was Shimon's child, Shimon could stay married to this woman, and the kid is kosher. So we have no way of knowing. It's a suffolk mamzer.
He's a shtuki, not because he's
a shtuki because he doesn't know who his father is.
His brother's father is. No.
Right. The second kid is a suffolk mamzer, but he knows who his father is, but he doesn't know who his brother's father is. Right. The first kid is a shtuki, really, right?
Rabbi?
I understand. The Amar of Yehuda Rav, Halacha Kriblazer. Ki Amrisu, when I said it, Kamei D'Shmuel, the Yehuda said, Rav told me, we paskin, that a suffolk mamzer cannot marry a mamzeris. But I went to Shmuel and I told them what Rav said. Amrali, Hil Shana Asara Yuchsin Olam Yibavo. Hil learned the Mishnah in the fourth parak in Kedushin that says 10 levels of Yichus came up from Bavo. And they are Kehani, Leviim, Yisraeli. That's three. Kehanim, Leviim, Yisraeli. Chaloli, a Kayan, that's a Cholol. Right? Geri, Gerim, Charurim, Frid Avadim, Mamzeri, Nesini, Shtuki, Vasufi. Those are the 10 Yuchsin.
Kusim didn't make it.
The Kulam, Mutarim, Love, Ebezet. And all of them are mutter to marry each other, which means certain groups are allowed to marry each other. And part of the groups that are allowed to marry each other are Mamzeri, Nesini, Shtuki, and Asufi. They're allowed to marry each other. Hill said that a suffolk is, excuse me, is mutter bevadai. So Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Mishnah says that Hill said it's mutter.
You saying
that
it's suffolk here?
It's your garden. Again. Let me just explain. Again. Hill learned the Mishnah. He learned Asara Yuchsin. And he said each one of them can marry some of the others. So therefore, Pshat is, as Rashi will explain, that Hill says and a Shtuki and a Sufi can marry a Mamzeri and a Nesini. Kulam Utarim Zavizabizab means they're allowed to marry within certain groups of these 10. That means Shtuki Nasubi, you're allowed to marry others. Who are they allowed to marry? Obviously, they're allowed to marry Mamzeri and Nesini. That means the Suffolk Mamzer is allowed to marry a Mamzer. Shtuki Nasufi are Suffolk Mamzer. We don't know who they are, right? Mom tells the kid, don't ask who your father is. And Asufi means we find a baby on the street. These are Suffolk Mamzerim. And Hill said that these categories can intermarry, some of them. Right? Now, who is this Shtuki and Asufi going to marry into? The Teretz is Hillel is Mater, Shtuki not Stuki to marry a Mamzeri or Nesini.
Maybe
a
Shtuki and Nesurim can marry.
It's like there's Suffolk and Suffolk. How can you let him marry? Maybe one is a Mamzer and one is not. Reb Lozer said Suffolk can't marry Suffolk.
Is Suffolk based on a girl?
Hold a second. There's no rhyme here. Suffolk can marry Suffolk. So fine. If Suffolk can marry Suffolk, that means you're letting Suffolk marry Vadai. That's what it means. Because how can you let Suffolk marry Suffolk? Maybe one is a Mamzer and one is not. Reb Lozer said you can't do that.
Stuki is the Suffolk here?
Yes.
So again.
So over here we have a machloikis, Rav and Shmuel, who the Paskin like. Rav Paskin said it's usher for a Suffolk to marry a Vadai. And Shmuel Paskin said it's mutter for a Suffolk to marry a Vadai. Now, both Tabaya holds that the halacha is like Shmuel. And we always Paskin like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. So therefore he wants Reb Lezer ben Yaakov to hold that it's mutter for a Suffolk to marry a Vadai. So he sets up the brisa that the Tanakam is the one that says a Suffolk can't marry a Vadai. The Blazer ben Yaakov is the one that says that a Suffolk can marry a Vadai. Shmuel Paskin's like, Rav Paskin's like Reb Lezer. Rav Paskin's like Reb Lezer. And he wants Reb Lezer ben Yaakov to say it's usher. So they learn the opposite ways because they want Reb Lezer ben Yaakov to be the way they Paskin. Because we always Paskin like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. So if you hold that it's mutter for a Suffolk to marry a Vadai, you want Reb Lezer ben Yaakov to be the one that says it's mutter. If you hold a Suffolk can't marry a Vadai, you want Reb Lezer ben Yaakov to be the one that says it's usher. So that's the driving force for Abaye and Rava and how they interpreted the Braisa. We started off that Abaye interpreted it, that the Tanakhama said a Suffolk cannot marry a Vadai, and Reb Lezer ben Yaakov said, yes, he can. And Rava said the Tanakhama said yes, and Reb Lezer ben Yaakov said no. Why is Abaye learning one way and Rava learning the other way? There's no indication either way. You can learn the Braisa one way, you can learn the Braisa either way. Terence says, each one wants Reb Lezer ben Yaakov to be like he paskins. Abaye paskins, it's mutter. Therefore, he wants Reb Lezer ben Yaakov to be the one to say it's mutter, because we always paskin like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. Rava paskins, it's usher. Therefore, he wants Reb Lezer ben Yaakov to be like the Mandamana says it's usher. So therefore, they each interpreted the Braisa to have Reb Lezer ben Yaakov on their side. Let's read it inside. Abaye sava lo kishmul damar lo kohil. Abaye paskins like Shmuel, who said we paskin like Hill that Suffolk is mutter b'vada? Mukilah Reb Lezer ben Yaakov and leave it to Hilchasa. Gehechad like Tikshe Hilchasa Hilchasa, because we always paskin like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, and Abaye paskins like Shmuel, and he doesn't want it to be a contradiction. Rava Suffolk like Rav Damar Lachakur Blazer. Rava holds like Rav that says Suffolk b'vada is aser. So Mukilah Reb Lezer ben Yaakov and leave it to Hilchasa. Gehechad like Tikshe Hilchasa Hilchasa. Each one wanted Reb Lezer ben Yaakov on his side, because if not, he's got a problem. Was you paskin like Reb Lezer ben Yaakov? How can you paskin not like him? So therefore, each one interpreted Reb Lezer ben Yaakov like him. Rashi. All the way back. Kamifligi Abaye v'Rava. Demar Muki Reb Lezer ben Yaakov le'teira. One said Reb Lezer ben Yaakov is Mater Suffolk b'Vadai. Umar Muki Lali Sura. Maybe the Suffolk is kosher, but Nimtzaba Mamzer Bekol. Mamzer is marrying a kosher lady. A Suffolk Mamzer cannot marry a Suffolk Mamzeris. The Shema Zeh Pasul was that kosher, because maybe one is Pasul, the other is kosher. Shtuki, Shekaira Aviv Ima Mesheskasai. He calls somebody his father, and his mother asks him to keep quiet. Asufi, Shinasa bin Ashuk. He was found on the street. Ubikulu ikilameka shemem mifsul nisabra. Mifasul nisabra. And we have to be afraid that the father of this kid was pasul, and therefore the kid is a Suffolk. Kusi, ein makbar al kedushi kasev ishtar. They don't hold of kedushi kasev ishtar. They don't agree that means anything. The last book, Zereshava, the Kicha Kicham. The only condition they recognize is Bia. And therefore, to them, let me just finish the Rashi. mitzvah leidach. One made kedushin, they don't consider the kedushin to mean anything. Makatzah, she married somebody else. The fichach kulon suffik mamzerim heim. Shama neskatche ima leachar. Yes, doctor.
Wouldn't she be better off just not saying anything?
I'm sorry?
She says the shtukim is that she wouldn't say anything, there wouldn't be any question. But because she said so, it becomes an issue. If she didn't say anything, then it would, no one would have any suspicions, no?
I don't know exactly. The Gemara Kedushin elaborates on the case. I honestly didn't spend much time looking into the case.
Rabbi's talking about they didn't think Kedusha Kesef means anything.
The Kusim were Jews. They were Megayer. We're going now that they're Jewish. It's Machlekes. And if you owe, they're Jewish, but they didn't keep everything. They sometimes kept things and sometimes didn't. Rashi is telling us, based on the Gemara Kedushin, that Kusim, a lot of them, ignored the concept of Kedusha Kesef and Shtar. Therefore, they didn't learn the Gzeira Shava, the Taras Kedusha Kesef and Shtar. And therefore, when a man was Mekadesh, a woman with money, some of them did not consider it a marriage. And therefore, they felt she was a single girl who could marry anybody else. She did. The kid is a mamzer. But since they didn't take it seriously, they didn't care. Meaning, they didn't view that as a mamzer. But we have to view it as a suffolk mamzer. So we don't know if this mom had Kedusha, or her grandmother, or her great-grandmother, once had Kedusha Kesef, and it was ignored, and she married somebody else.
This is not going on the Shtufi and the...
There's a third category of suffolk mamzer. Hill, I'm sorry, who's the one that gives this? Reblazer. The Blazer gives us three categories of suffik mamzerim: shtuki, asufi, and kusi. So Rashi is explaining why kusi is a suffik mamzer.
Why isn't kusi considered bothered because of the sake? Maybe they're not even Jewish. And then
I get it. It's a machlokes whether they're Jewish or not, so it's not a suffik. It's a suffik to you. It's not a suffik to those two Mandi Amram.
I'm not sure.
You understand what I'm saying? The Magen Avraham says Man Kriya Shema is earlier. The Gra says Man Kriya Shema is later. You might be Mesupik. The Gra wasn't Mesupik and the Magen Avraham wasn't Mesupik. To them it wasn't the Suffolk.
But isn't that a case of
others? And therefore...
So that's not the Mamzer.
No. Never do that. Reuven's married to a woman, she gets raped, and she has a child from the one who raped her. Is the kid a mamzer?
No, I thought it was talking about it was done. Oh, that may be good to you. It was done before.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was done before she got married.
We don't know who the father of this child is. Maybe he's a mamzer. We have no idea whose baby is on the street.
You don't even know the mother.
Huh? Yeah, you don't know anything. You find a baby on the street.
Put it in a door basket, you know, those stories that you find a baby.
We're not passing out, and it's a sugi and kedushin to describe exactly what shtufi is or stufi is. I didn't spend that much time in it. If you want me, I can take a gemara and kedushin and read it to you. If that'll make you feel better.
What's with the tachkama of Rav Lezer ben Yaakov? You don't, the Rabbana, you encourage them? They don't.
What do you mean? We encourage them, we have to know. We try to figure out what Rav Lezer ben Yaakov holds, and the Tanakhama argues.
Why do you always call it Rav Lezer ben Yaakov?
Because we paskin like him. There's halacha, we say, Mishnah Rav Lezer ben Yaakov kav v'naki. Whatever he said very few things in Shas, but whatever he said is a halacha. So therefore, we always want Rav Lezer ben Yaakov to be, it's always halacha like him. So you want to make sure that when you interpret Rav Lezer ben Yaakov, you're interpreting it the way the halacha is. Now, over here, it's not clear. Most of the time, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov tells you something, there's no wiggle room. Here, the Tanakhama and Rav Lezer ben Yaakov left you wiggle room because they're not clear. So each one approaches it, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov must be saying, like I hold. Usually, Rav Lezer ben Yaakov is clear. You have no wiggle room to say he meant this, he meant that. He said what he meant. Here, there was a very vague statement. And since it's a vague statement, each one can interpret it his way.
Is Rav Lezer and Hill arguing?
Rav Lezer and Hill were arguing. Correct.
Okay.
Rav Elazar de Tana and Hillel de Tana are arguing. Is the suffix mutar bevadai? Rav paskins like Rav Elazar, Shmuel paskins like Hillel.
Now we want to see which.
Now each Abaya paskins like Shmuel and Rav paskins like Rav. So when they came to interpret this brisa, Abaya wanted to make sure that Rav Elazar Yaakov holds like Shmuel, because that's how he paskins. So he interpreted the brisa that the Tanakhama said it's Usher, and Rav Elazar Yaakov said it's Mutter. Rava wanted to interpret it like Rav Elazar Yaakov holds like Rav. So he interpreted the brisa that the Tanakhama said Mutter, and Rav Elazar Yaakov said Usher.
That
we don't treat a suffix like a vade mamzer.
You don't even treat different types of suffix mamzer like
that. Not allowed to get.
Correct. Correct. Correct.
Obviously, even Hillel, though, holds that there's different types of
svak. Let's finish Rashi, and then afterwards you can ask questions. Tamid to Rav Yehuda Masayim Lamos of Azul. Yehuda continues. Tamid to Hashemai to the Rav Amar Lach Loch and Kerb Lazer Kameh to Shmuel. When I told Shmuel that Rav Paskin like Kerb Lazer, Amali, that Hillel learned 10 Asari Yuchsin, the Kula Mutarim Lav Bezeh Bezeh. So Rashi, Iyam Abishlam Esreikim Bevadeh Mutar, the Koshkin Esreikim Esreikim. If you tell me that a Suffolk Mamzer can marry a Vada Mamzer, and therefore a Suffolk Mamzer can marry a Suffolk Mamzer. How does the Mishkagas love Kula Mutarim Zabizet? So now we can categorize who can marry whom. Kahanim Leviim Yisrael Mutarim Zabizet. Kayan Levi and Yisrael allowed to intermarry. Levi and Yisrael, Chaloli, Geri, Vacharuri, who are Avazim Mishukhrarim Mutarim Zabizet. A Kayan cannot marry a Giyaris. A Kayan cannot marry a Mishukhraris. A Kayan cannot marry a Chalola. So he can marry, Kayan Levi Yisrael can intermarry. Once you move to the next step, which is Chaloli, Geri, Chaluli, Charuri, the next three, Kayan can't marry the next three. But a Levi Yisrael can marry Charuri, Geri, Chaloli, Geri, and Charuri. So when you say Kula Mutarim Lav Bezeh Bezeh, three, then drop one, take 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right. They can get married. There's no restriction on a Levi marrying a Halala, or a Giyaris, or a Meshachreres. So, one can marry two and three, two can marry three, four, five, and six. They get intermarry. And then, Geri, Charuri, Mamzeri, Nesini, Shtuki, Vasufi, Muturim, Zebezeb. And then, this man the Amar holds, the Kalgerim, Leikri, Kohol. This is a Makloikis, a Masechtis, Kedushin, which we might have later in Masechtas Yevamos, is a ger restricted in the same restrictions that a born Jew is? Can a ger marry a mamzeres? Can a mamzer marry a geiris? I think you asked me the question when I walked in. An eved meshuchrer is like a ger. Are they restricted? L'mashal, a p'tzua daka. There's an isser, a p'tzua daka, which we will elaborate on in the 8th Perek. Someone who, something happened to him that he can't have children. That something got destroyed. Part of his body got destroyed. It's not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. A b'tzua daka can marry a geiris because she's not kahal Hashem. Kahal gerim le'ikri kohol. When the Torah said kahal Hashem, it didn't mean gerim. They are Jews. They're perfectly Jewish. They get olam haba. Everything's fine. But they cannot, they don't have the restrictions of marriage. Therefore, a ger, a charuri, a mamzer, a nesini, a shtuki, and an asufi can marry each other. Because a mamzer can marry a ger and a mishukra. And nothing is like a mamzer to love. It's one of the seven nations that's megayer that are ushered to marry into. And he'll hold that sveikim is sveikim and sveikim bevadin is mutter. So therefore a shtuki and asufi are treated like a mamzer. So they can marry each other. That's how the Mishnah is explained in Kedushin. According to you, if you're passing like a blazer, Shtuki can't marry anybody. That Sufi can't marry anybody. And Hill said, they're mutter zeh b'zeh. So at least the Shtuki can marry a Shtuki, and a Sufi can marry a Sufi. Why? One might be kosher, one might be pasul. Terence says, because a Safik can marry a Mamzer. So it's not like Reb Lazer. So Shmuel said, how could Rab Paskin like Reb Lazer when Hill said the opposite?
What does Katan Shnola mean, though? Previous?
I'm trying to figure out what in the world.
He shouldn't be able to marry a Mamzer.
Why not? That's a machlokes. When the pasuk says Kahal Hashem, does it include gerim or not? Now again, it is not to say the gerim aren't Jewish, chas v'shalom, and it's not to say the gerim won't get Eilam Haba, and it's not to say that a ger can't get shlishi or matir yaidah. Shlishi, he can't get Kayan and Levi, and neither can I. Neither can I, right? So he's not. It just means that when the Torah restricted marriages, did the Torah mean only born Jews, or did the Torah mean any Jew that is there? That's a machlokes. Kahal gerim ikri kahal. We paskin kahal gerim le ikri kahal. So we paskin that a mamzer can marry a geiris. And the kid will be a mamzer. I mean, she's got to be stupid to marry him if she doesn't want her kid to be mamzerim. But it's legally allowed. A mamzer's allowed to marry a mamzeris, a geiris. If a 90-year-old mamzer wants to marry an 89-year-old geiris, they're not going to have any children. It's perfectly legal. A psuadaka can marry a geiris. The geia, that could be the geia. It could be people coming and can become psuadakas. Can marry a Jewish woman, they can marry a Geiris. That is mutter. We pass in Kal Gerim Le Yikri Kol. It's a machlokes tanoim. But Hill was going Kal Gerim Le Yikri Kol.
Rabbi, why did Hillel not just make something mamzerim a category?
Because they can't be.
Instead of having...
They can't be. Because if one is kosher and one is not kosher, they can't marry each other. How can it be a category?
According to Hillel, they could.
Only because a mamzer can marry a suffolk. You can't say suffolk is mutter b'suffolk and suffolk is not mutter b'vaday.
Wait, so Hillel's only thing that they're mutter to marry mamzerim, and that's it?
And a suffolk.
So why not have a category of suffolk?
I'm not following your logic.
Why does Hillel have 10 categories?
No. Hillel said that when Ezra came up to Bavel, he brought up 10 levels of Yuchsin. This is a fact. These are the 10 he brought up.
Meaning one's higher than the other, right?
One's different than the other. I hate to use the word higher. If you want to use the word higher, I'll go along with it. It might not be politically correct.
I mean, what's the napkamina between a shtuki and a
suki? Logically, none.
Then why have two categories?
Because the Bible said there were two kinds of people.
But you could just say Suffolk Mamzerim and make a...
He could have. But there were two kinds of Suffolk Mamzerim, so he listed them separately. You're right. He could have said... I mean, he's just listing the 10 different groups of people.
Isn't the fact that he left them as separate categories a riot that they can't marry each other?
No. Because he said, Kula Mutarim Tava Zebazet. He said that they can marry... separate categories.
Then why wouldn't he list them as one?
Because they're different metziyasin. They came from different places. It's a different story.
I understand that, but if there's no nafkamina...
He's just telling you that 10 types of people he brought up. These are different types of people. That's all. Not halakhically, factually.
Except the Kusim didn't. Kusim didn't come, right? I mean,
it doesn't mention Kusim.
Maybe they're not Jewish.
I don't know. Joshua Ashi Nesinim, Gevinim, Shinizgaru, Bimei Yeshua, Ba'arma. These are Gevinim that were Megayer in the days of Yeshua with trickery. V'yashvam Tzad Abdus. And they were made into Avadim. They'll say, V'yitnim Yeshua Chayt Ve'etzim, V'shoi Ve'imayim Le'eda. He made them the ones that chop wood and draw water. So they're not allowed to marry a Jewish woman, but they can marry a Mamzeres, and a Mamzeres can marry a Nesina. Because again, they're both not Kahal Hashem. Hilchasa top Rashi Zamed Beis. The Kaimel on Mishnas Rabbi Yezim and Yaakov Kav V'Naki. Small amount, but it's pure. The Masechta is getting. By the way, the Mefarshim say, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov was mentioned 102 times in Halacha, which is the Gematria of Kav. So even though we translate Kav means few and clear, but he happens to be mentioned 102 times in Shas with different Halachas. That's what somebody says. I didn't count them.
I'm looking through it.
But
102 times his
psak
or his name?
I think it's psak.
Kav meaning like
Kav. Kav usually means a small amount, a small volume measurement.
Not Kav
with
a line.
No. Kav with a base. It says Rashi. Look at Rashi.
102.
Yeah,
I got it. 102.
Well, that's a lot. I thought it was four. I'm Rabbiya. Menah Aminallah. Rabbiya wants to prove that he's right. Now Abaye wants to bring evidence that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov really holds that Vada Misraken is Mutter. He wants to prove it. Because there's two ways to learn the Braisa. Abaye learns it conveniently that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds like him. And Rava learns it conveniently that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds like him. But nobody had proof. So Abaye says, I can prove to you that I have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov right. And if I have Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov right, then you, Rava, are wrong. The kol sveikel or blezem b'yakov kavadim mashvula. How do I know that blezem b'yakov used sveikas like vadai, which is what Rabbi said, that a suffik can marry a vadai, according to blezem b'yakov. He said the Tanya, blezem b'yakov aimer, hare shabo al noshim harbe ve'en yedei al ezem emba, a person who lives with many women and has no recollection who in the world he lived with. A single girl who's mizana with many men and doesn't know who impregnated her. What happens is, relatives will marry each other because they don't know their relatives. A man lived with 100 ladies. Some of those ladies became pregnant from him. Nobody knows who impregnated them. Nobody knows who the kid's father is. Can end up brothers marry sisters, fathers marry daughters, children marry mothers. That probably won't end up, but the other way. And the world will be full of suffix mamzerim. Now he calls it mamzerim. Why doesn't he say suffix mamzerim? Because the answer is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, suffering is like Vadai. From his terminology that he says, it's not going to be full of Mamzerim, it'll be full of suffering Mamzerim. We won't know.
But you have to treat them as Vadoim.
But you treat them like Vadoim. So therefore he uses the word Mamzerim.
Zima is Mamzerim.
Zima means thus. Zima is a terminology used
depravity.
When it produces mamzerim, right?
Depravity.
Depravity?
Depravity.
Depravity. I think it's depravity. Rashi, Kibla and Sabra. We don't know who she became pregnant. Rav Amar Lach. Rav says that's not a raya. Hachikamer. Zumahi. He uses the word Zima, which Rava says is an acronym from we don't know what the status of the child is. So he explains himself. I didn't mean Mamzerim. I meant Zima, which is Safik Mamzerim. So Rava is saying he's bringing the Pasuk Zima to interpret himself. Don't think I meant Mamzerim, because Safik is not a Vade Mamzer. I meant Zima, which means Zumahi. We don't know the status. Rashi Zumahi Lashon Safik. So each one learned from Blazma Yaakov his way. Now, because we brought in this brice of Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that people shouldn't go around being mizana, because they're going to make problems, there's going to be a lot of suffix mamzerim around, because we don't know who they are, and they'll end up marrying. Now, by the way, this creates a problem. It's a halachic problem, and I have to be extremely careful in how I word it, because halachic, what?
What creates a problem?
Well, I'm going to tell you in a second. Not knowing who parents are creates a problem. Because by not knowing who parents are, this can come about. Rav Moshe has a tshuva that adopted children have to be told they're adopted, because they have to be careful to know as much as possible. He says, but the Evan, if they're we're talking about adopted children from Jews. You adopted a Jewish child, right? If you adopted a child that's not Jewish, so he doesn't have any relatives, halachically. But if you adopted a child that is Jewish, he has a father and he has a mother. If you raise him as your child, he will never know he's adopted. He will never know that when he marries somebody, he has to make sure it's not his relative. Now, but the Eved Rav Moshe says, Yisamech on Rav. Most of the people out there are not his relatives. But look, Hatchila the Gemara here is saying, we don't want a situation where people don't know who their parents are. Because you never know who he might marry. So again, but the Eved, sometimes you can't find out who the parents are, so then Yisamech on Rav. But look, Hatchila, person should know who their parents are, if they can possibly know who their parents are. Rav Moshe holds it's usher to raise an adopted child without telling him they're adopted. To Rav Moshe writes.
The DNA test?
I don't know. Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva before DNA was around. I don't know.
Why doesn't this robe go back on what we just said? The
Rav Yaakov is advising people. He's not ushering marriage. He's saying, this messes up the world. Fact. He didn't say anything's usher to marry. He's saying, fact is, when people are mezana lot, and they become pregnant, and don't know who the father is, it messes up the world. Fact. Halachically? Maybe not. Factually? Yes. That's all. Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva that parents are mechuyev to tell their kids that he's adopted, as he writes. Because of this, that they should try to find out who their parents are, if possible. So they shouldn't come to this, because the chatzkila, parent person should know who their parents are, not to marry a relative. Again, Rav Moshe holds them, it's impossible, Yisamech on Rav, that for sure, you know, Rav tells us that they're not marrying their sister. Don't think about it. Yatzar HaKei Namar HaBlazim HaYakov. Now this is a very, very big chumrah, and it doesn't apply today, according to the Aruch HaShulchan and many other Paiskim. Person shouldn't marry somebody in the United States and then move to China and marry a second wife. Whether the first wife is alive or not alive doesn't make a difference. He has children in the United States, he has children in China, and they have no idea that they're related, because the people in the United States have no idea that he had children in China. Because they'll end up marrying each other, because the people in the United States don't even know that their father had a second wife in China and had children. Why in the world would they assume they're related? So we don't want people to be in that situation. So the Aruch HaShulchan says that today it doesn't apply because of communication. If a person marries a second wife in China, the people in the United States, the children in the United States would be well aware that their father remarried, and well aware that the father had children, because the communication is there. Whereas in those days, if he lived in one country, moved to another country, they could lose total communication. They would never know their father remarried. They would never know their father had children. They never know anything. So therefore, today it's not Negeya. But what Blessed Yaakov was trying to say, we're trying to avoid potential problems. Don't do it because it can create a potential problem. Now, even the laws of Yaakov is maskim that in the same city you can remarry a second woman, because then there's communication. It's only b'mdina acheres. Rashi, Yasser HaKein, Nafilu hachad aydei nesu'an hava, v'adavar mefursim. Not like he was hiding a relationship. He got married. The first one, the laws of Yaakov said, is you shouldn't go around being mezana. Those are secret relationships. Here it's a marriage. Still, Kazer of Lezim Yaakov, he still doesn't want people marrying in different countries, because the children won't know of each other, because there's no communication. Back to Gemara 80. It's not that way. V'arav, ki iklu l'dardishir. Rav, when he came to the city of Dardishir, Machris Amram Manhaven Liyayma. Okay. The Amaroim, certain Amaroim, did not want to be in a city when they're not married. In order that you shouldn't have a Yetzihara, marriage is an antidote to a Yetzihara. It allows for a legal relationship. It takes away the Yetzihara to have an illegal relationship. These Amaroim were very careful that when they arrived in cities, and they were there for short periods of time, they married somebody. And they would divorce them afterwards. And the woman would agree to be married to Rav, even though she knew it was a very short marriage. Nobody forced anybody. The woman didn't mind being married to Rav for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it was. So Rav used to come to a city and say, is anybody willing to marry me? Now it means he would marry a city, a woman in this city, then go to a second city. I mean, he didn't travel that much to 8 cities, but he lived in one city and would go to a different city and marry a woman. So it means he didn't do Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's thing not to have 2 women in 2 different locations. This woman might become pregnant. And if she becomes pregnant, they won't know of each other because this one is in Ardeshir and this one is in Surah.
You'd live with them?
Again, this is the Gemara's discussion. You got to give the Gemara a chance. But Rav... Rav Nachman, the names of cities, Machris Rama Man Havaliyayma. Why aren't we afraid that he might have a child with the one in Dardashir, and the one in Surah and Dardashir won't know they're related? Zakti Gemara, Shiny Rabbanan de Pekiyah Shemay. Everybody knows Rav's child. It'll never happen. When a woman has a child from Rav, everybody knows this is Rav's child. Whether he's in Dardashir, whether he's in Surah, everybody will well aware this is the Gadol Hador's child. And therefore, they will never come to marry each other. Rashi. Who's willing to get married for the period of time that I'm staying here? The Pki, Kulam Bishmayu. How does he translate the Pki? Known? Names are famous.
Is it the same with Avraham Avinu when he sent his kids away?
Could be. The Kairim bin Lebita al Shemai. Vim Yambi b'nai mi makam achar, yishma shibat abim. Everybody will say this is Rav's daughter. Be afresh. So when you have a father, it's a Gadol Hador, everybody attributes it to them. There's no fear that the daughter won't know who her father is, even though her father's not here. But the fact that she's the Gadol Hador's daughter, everybody will let her know that she's the Gadol Hador's daughter.
How do single people our days combat the Yetzer Hara?
Don't answer that question.
It doesn't say that everybody that came to town married people. It's a big Amaroim who were very careful not to have any Yetzer Hara used to do this. It doesn't say that every time Dick and Harry that came into town married a woman.
I will explain it to you after class. Okay, everyone?
No, I'm trying to understand that.
Do you have a wife back at home?
No.
Yeah. What's your problem? No. What
Rabbi, I have a problem. Rabbi.
Who is that?
Harvey.
Yes, what's your problem, Harvey?
My problem is, I can't believe nobody else is asking this. If the Gadol is on this level where he's conquered so much of his Yetzer Hara, why are we worried that he needs a wife in a city while he's traveling? What kind of challenge is that for him? And with a Gadol on the level that a Gadol has to be, what is this all about?
It's hard for me to answer because I'm not a Gadol. So it's hard for me to answer because I'll say that the bigger the Gadol, the bigger the Yetzer Hara. And therefore, Rav felt that he, by being alone in a city for X amount and not weeks, he would be susceptible to Yetzer Hara. Whereas, the Gemara is going to end up saying later on that they never lived with each other. But at this point, we assume that he actually lived with her. The Gemara at the end is going to say he had a wife that, if he needed to, was available, but never ended up using needing her. But that's not the point at this point. At this point, we think he actually lived with her. It's hard for me to put myself in these things. It doesn't say everybody did it. It mentions two Amaroim that took this extra step, that they wanted to make sure that they wouldn't have any Yetzer Hara. Now, it's hard for me to put myself in their position because they're a trillion times bigger than I am. And therefore, it's hard for me to answer your question. But they felt they need a shmira from the Yetzer Hara. That's what they felt. And by the way, nobody forced this woman to get married. There was no coercion. It was perfectly 100% voluntary. And therefore, there was nothing wrong with it. It's not like Rob came into town and said, somebody better marry me. No, it did not happen. The question was, is anybody willing to marry Rob for the weeks that he's in town?
It didn't sound like coercion to me. I'm just wondering why everybody's not raising their hand and saying, hey, I'm a good old too.
He's a gun too. No, he didn't say that. But he wanted to know how he's supposed to conquer his Yetzer
Hara.
How single people, I'm sorry. How are single people supposed to conquer the Yetzer Hara? I don't have the answer.
I thought learn.
Get married.
Rebbe, I argue with you. You are a gadol. We have all these individuals that agree with me.
Okay. That's not the issue in this Gemara.
Just
say. Tara says by Gadol on Yom Kippur, he has to be married, right?
And Gadol had to be married, yes.
The Kohen Gadol has to be married on Yom Kippur for the Avodah, right?
Right.
But
correct.
So they have a proxy standing ready to get married to him so he can do the Avodah as married.
Right.
What does that do for the Kohen Gadol? It's usher on Yom Kippur. Right?
He didn't marry her on Yom Kippur. The Torah insists, it says, Kippur Bada Yabad Beisai. The Xeris HaKasav that he has to have a wife.
Right.
So the Torah insists
reason?
That he has to have a wife. So they have to have a situation
reason?
That in case his wife dies, he should be married to somebody else. You know, the Gemara
right.
Yuma spends an Amma trying to figure out how it was done because he's only allowed to have one wife. So how can he be married? How can you work it out? So the Gemara is a whole process.
Right.
Of how he makes sure that he's always married to one wife.
Right. Okay, so whatever it is, I'm not getting into all the pratim on it, but Lamaisa, the Kohen Gadol has to be married, for whatever reason.
He said he has
so
to be married.
The same thing. So Rav and Rav Yochanan also felt that they had to be married, for whatever reason. It may subdue the Sahara, it may, whatever it is.
I don't think you can make a comparison between the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, where the Torah insisted on it, to anywhere else. Especially, but you can see in a minute that the Gemara explains it the way I'm explaining it. So, let's see we're not going to see it today,
okay.
But let's
try. I was just coming up with this far to...
I hear what you're saying. Frank the Gemara. V'amar Rava, tavuli natav in espaisa tzricha leishav shiva nekiyim. There's a halacha called Dam Chimud. A woman who's asked to get married... We're afraid that that agreement to get married causes her to become an Ida. It's called Dam Chimud. And therefore we make her sit Shiva Nekiyim. So when Rob comes into town and says, who wants to marry me? Ain't nobody marrying him for a week anyway. Because he's going to have to separate for Shiva Nekiyim. So he hasn't helped his situation. He's still going a week without a wife. Zuck to Gemara, we're going to do this again tomorrow. Just need an answer. Rabbanu Shluchayu have Meshadrim Baidulu. When they planned to come to the city, used to send somebody ahead to find the wife who sat her Shiva Nekiyim and was available when Rav came. We'll talk about this tomorrow. Everybody should have a wonderful day.